The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of all the help you need for healthy, glowing skin at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Did you know, and I didn't know this until 2 seconds ago, that the Pride movement is from 1969, so it's 50 years old. And here to talk to us about a new thing called Older Than Pride, we have three people. Will you introduce yourselves, Eddie?
I'm Eddie McGuinness. I'm Dublin Pride manager, the queen of matchmaking to the last. And I am technically 3 weeks older than Pride. My mum couldn't wait to get me out. I was premature and I came out a couple of weeks before the Pride movement in 1969 in Stonewall.
You're very welcome, Eddie.
I'm Jim from Limerick City. I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be older than Pride. Thank you for having us, Ray, and I'm delighted to be with the lovely Ger and the wonderful lady.
You're very welcome, Jim.
Yeah, and I'm Jermone, and I'm definitely older than Pride, and I was very happy to be around in the early days. It was a combination of fun and challenging, and here we are today now.
Okay. So, Ger, you're very welcome. We'll start with you, seeing as we finished there. So, the early days. Yeah. Can you speak about the early days?
Well, I mean, that would be back in the 70s.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know what people think about the 70s these days, but it was very repressive in terms of sexuality in the Catholic Church, and homosexuality was criminalised. So anything to do with being gay, we didn't even have the word gay, actually. The word homosexual was the word that was used. People kind of shied away from that because medically that was said to be an illness.
Right.
The Catholic Church considered it a moral disorder, and all in all, it was not very...
And where were you brought up?
In Dublin, actually, yeah.
Okay.
One of a large family, and I would have to say my parents were very tolerant and very open, and that was really great when it came to coming out.
Yeah, so your experience was sort of okay.
It was, yeah, and yeah. I went to college and had a good sort of kind of liberal context. Yeah.
And
the women's movement was really important there because the women's movement opened everything up, gave us permission to talk about things.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd imagine having that, the support of your family, somewhere you could go back to, even if there was a bit of negativity around outside, you always had that back home.
Yeah, you definitely knew that you were going to be accepted. There wasn't going to be any kind of disapproval, and certainly nothing like being thrown out of home, which happened to a lot of people, and it still happens occasionally that people are asked to leave home
right
when they come out. Yeah,
Jim, what's your story?
I came out in 1971, a young, and I got very involved in gay rights with IGRM in Dublin and the Hirschfield Centre, and I just was very happy to come out. I never had any problems. Limerick was nice. Everything was underground, so nobody really was threatening anybody. And I had a very lovely youth, you know.
Yeah.
I was lucky. My dad did a lot of sailing, and so I did a lot of sailing with him, and, you know, lovely hobbies. And
right, you're painting a lovely, idyllic picture at the TUI of being gay in the 70s in Ireland. You weren't gay in the 70s in Ireland, Eddie, were you?
Well, no, I was young young and innocent back then in the 70s, but I came out basically a couple of months before 93, which is when decriminalisation happened. My first ever Pride was the week we were decriminalised.
Right.
And that kind of stands in my mind of where my journey with Pride has been. And Pride, in a way, and especially Dublin Pride, has given me the energy and the openness. I was nearly married. I was 3 months away from my wedding, and I decided to tell her that I like boys and girls. She goes, "That's fine, no problem, we'll deal with it." But I couldn't lie anymore to myself. I had a mixed upbringing, I won't say, from those around me. Bullying, those issues, also internal struggles. I'm a survivor of suicide because I didn't feel, because of my upbringing with the Catholic Church, I actually have a very strong faith, and because the church didn't appreciate who and what I was, I felt that in a way.
And you still have a strong faith?
Oh yeah, I actually very, very much still have a...
How have you reconciled that? I'm intrigued.
Actually, in a way, I always believe whoever is up there looking after us, in a way, I do believe that that's our moment together.
Okay.
I'm not here to be given orders from an organised religion to tell me how I should live my life in any which way.
You might answer this to me then.
Yes.
How has his or her
yep.
representatives on earth got it so wrong for so long?
I think that's just human nature because we just naturally do it. I think society in generally want to suppress those and be more controlling. And I think even, no matter where we are, these are the rules and regulations, even the, around the whole issues or corona
but
at the moment.
I suppose, but like that's you put your finger on it there. They are the rules and regulations. Yeah. And when you sign up to a particular club, you're supposed to obey the rules and regulations.
Yeah. And the very narrow view of sexuality, yes. That it's all around procreation. And that, that's.
And what about you, Ger, and the church?
Yeah, no, I left the church a long time ago, actually. Yeah, I just...
Jim?
You know, the saying, listen to the message, not the messenger. You know, I came out at 17. I said, if God wanted me to be gay, he is a nice God and he made me gay, so I must be all right.
Right.
You know, so that, yeah. was it for me. No drama.
No drama. Right.
But we don't like drama. We do. At the end of the day, that is the whole purpose. Okay. But also it's the journey of all of us as we're getting older.
Now, this is what I was, I'm doing this interview and it's older than pride, and this is the thing. Mm-hmm. Because, and I don't know how to phrase this without, you know, upsetting, but I people looking in from the outside associate homosexuality with young people because they seem to be the more visible, don't they, Jeremy?
Right. Yes. They're definitely more visible. Well, for, I mean, first of all, even back in the 70s, there's always been gay people and right back in history. But yeah, being visible is a whole different thing that's happened now, and that pride is so important for because that gives everybody the opportunity to get out there and be visible. And I think there's lots of older LGBTQ plus people who have been out maybe all their lives or haven't been, but want more connection, and I think would welcoming this initiative, older than pride, because it's a very pleasant social event for people just to come out and meet people and have some fun and reconnect, because a lot of people I think might have been out in their young days, out and about, as you're saying, youth, and then you pull back and you get involved in your own life, and then maybe later on it's like, well, okay, let's try something different.
Yeah. Also, on the way, we have to realise is society at the moment, especially around young people and youth and teenagers, there's organisations that are now set up, like Belong To, like Shout Out, and other organisations out there that actually have, in a way, giving what we would have loved to as young people.
Yes,
We all collectively would love to have that knowledge base when we were growing up. And by doing so, it has strengthened what the community is about. And
you must be very happy for them, though.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things people ask a little bit, and sometimes people ask about the language and all this new language that's coming out. And I think it's great.
Like
I think it's helped everybody. Well, transgender will be one, pansexual, asexual, sexual fluidity, gender non-conforming, non-binary. It's all a whole new way of thinking about gender and sexuality. And even though in a way it can be difficult, in another way it's opening up whole new spaces. And we were doing interviews for a documentary, Attitude, and several of the respondents said they'd love to have had that language when they were growing up or coming out, because it just made things more interesting and you could dance the dance, as somebody said, along the gender and sexuality line. Whereas in our day it was like, you're either gay or straight.
Also, Ray, you know yourself, is the word queer. It was derogatory. We all, even if we talk about it, more straight people actually cringe around the word queer. But in a way, the LGBT plus community has taken ownership back of it.
Yes.
And even in Pride, Dublin Pride, we put the Q back into the LGBT plus. And by doing so, it's taken that ownership of that word. Queer gender, queer artist, queer formative. There's so much way around to actually taking a more positive and with a smile what that word means, rather than being negative.
Jim.
Yes, sir.
You're still with us.
Yes, I am indeed.
So in the 70s in Limerick, it was underground.
Yes, it was.
Is it overground now?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And
and what about you as a 65-year-old man?
I'm very interested in what these people are saying. But when we were alive in the 1970s, we had a great network of friends. Like, we didn't have phones or gosh or out or, you know, but we had a lovely network of friends, you know. And now at 65, I marched in Dublin Pride last year. I marched the whole Pride with a lovely red band, and it made me I enjoyed it so much to see the crowds. Oh, you know, there for.
And did you lose friends over the years?
Well, I suppose I did, you know, because I reconciled with the church, but it was hurtful. They didn't want us. The Pope didn't like gays, and you know that. So that was hurtful.
Yeah.
And of course, people would. But I mean, if they didn't like me, then they didn't.
But you lived through the whole AIDS HIV scare.
That was terrible. No, that was absolutely awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because not only did you lose a lot of your friends, it was the stigma of being at work as an out gay man. and people didn't know if you exchanged saliva with them, could they get it? So it was, oh gee, it was a terrible time.
There was terrible misinformation, wasn't there?
Yes,
terrible
there was,
misinformation.
Yeah. But it was like now, it's so sudden, and people didn't realise, they didn't know how it was going to pan out.
Yeah.
You know, so
okay.
it was tough though.
So getting older as a gay person then, because obviously there was a need for something like Older Than Pride, or else they wouldn't have put it together. Does that make sense, Ger?
Yeah, well, we kind of joke a little bit that our friends are our family, and I think that's one of the ways we've all done our lives, is to make sure to really value friendship and build big connections for ourselves, like you're saying. So you kind of end up with a big community of friends. Right. But even so, I mean, I like novelty. I like something new. I like to go out and meet new people. I like to have fun. And that's what this Older Than Pride thing is about.
Yeah.
And if I may say, you have to have a sense of humour. Like when we would go to London for holidays in the mid-70s, early 80s, there was a bar called the Elephant's Graveyard. And there was Jurassic Park, where all the old queens, you know, went
to
die.
Oh, right, Jurassic Park.
You know,
Park,
that was
right.
a joke, you know. So now someone asked me and for an interview for the Sunday Times, how do I feel about bars having these names? So I said, you have to have a sense of humour.
Yeah.
We go to the one in Dublin, don't we?
Is there ageism in...
There is very much ageism out there.
Is this in the gay community or in the wider community?
This is a wider community, no matter. Yeah. Like, even for me, I'm older than 50, and even going out for a job, and I'm lucky, I've got the perfect job. Pride suits me, and it's kind of allowed to drive my passion. But also at the same time with the college. But being on the market, being older, instantly I couldn't get the interviews. I was being shortlisted for interviews left, right and centre, and I wasn't getting...
But this is because you were 50,
it was literally your age.
Yeah, nothing to do with your sexuality.
Nothing. Yeah. But then we do look at is even for the community itself, you go to bars, the music is louder, most of it doesn't come with words. but that's the initiative around what we try and do. Even when we did our last event.
So tell us about the event,
The event itself is, last one we just did was, we went to Seamus Heaney exhibition in the Bank of Ireland. Absolutely, I have to say, amazing. But also we did a tour of the House of Lords in around the place itself. But then we ended up in Street 66, which is a gay bar. But with that, they played vinyl of 50s, 60s and 70s music in the background. Mm. And I have to say,
people from all over Ireland come?
Yes.
50 people. But if I may say, it was just the most beautiful day. To be part of a big organisation, because in Limerick there wouldn't be many people my age on the scene, you know.
Yeah.
So, not that I'd be lonely or anything, but to be around Alan Amsby, Dennis, Jim Harkin, Billy O'Keefe, to be around all the people my age that were happy. Gee, it was a lovely experience.
Yeah.
You know, it really was.
These are all names from the gay community, are they?
We got so well treated.
Most people know as Mr. Pussy.
Yeah.
And Alan came out of kind of a bit of a retirement as Mr. Pussy last year and performed at the Outing Festival in the west of Ireland. And that was what it's all about. Mm. It's literally engaging all those.
Yeah. In light of what happened with Philip Schofield, and there were, you know, Liveline did a number of days talking to women whose husbands had come out as gay. Is that something you're witnessing more and more?
But it's
anybody?
Not just husbands, it's also wives.
Wives.
People have been in marriages.
Marriages. But in a way, is when we have to realise is, not that we were forced to be in that, it's society itself allowed us to progress into those situations. Some were forced into it and some weren't. But when you get older, you understand your kids are rare. And most, it's like any relationship, you realise come 18, 19, even 20 years of age, your kids are rare. You realise actually, this relationship is not working, no matter if it's their sexuality or not, or gender, but this relationship is not working. But also you end up with, some most people will have a friend for life who will understand truly who you are. And I have to say with Philip's wife, the statements what have come out, Philip, they're a bond connecting and strong as ever.
Yeah.
It's hurting, yes, because that is an end of a journey between the two of them, and they have a different journey to go on. But as friendships,
it is a complex area, you know.
Yes.
There's bound to be people who, as you say, will end up with good friendships, and then there's others who are going to feel betrayed. What happened and how did it happen, and how you know, want to move on from there. And I mean, I suppose it's part of it to say as well, you know, people can come out at any time in their lives. It's not always. It's not just a young person that comes out. People can fall in love at 40 or 60. 60. Yes. And go, whoa.
You're in the civil partnership with Sonia.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Just retracing, just looking back on your life, and could you have imagined that Ireland would have arrived at where it's at now?
Not even remotely. No. Yeah. And again, one of the interviews for Altitude, one of the interviewees said, you should be careful what you dream, because that might be what happens. And then she says, well, I'm actually living the dream. I never dreamt that we could have marriage or civil partnership or civil protection, legal protection, and here it is. So,
And you're married, Eddie?
I am. I'm lucky because, as I said on my wedding speech to his mum, is his first night on the gay scene. He was 20 years of age. I was in my 30s, and he walked in, and I went, "Yes, please, nice and easy." And with that, we ended up 17 years later. We're still together.
Oh, we're 17 years as well.
And with that, we got civil partnered because that's what was on offer. We wanted to secure our relationship in a way legally, also if anything happened to either one of us, that bus, as we say. But also at the same time, then we got nicely our upgrade when marriage equality truly came in. And I have to say that was the most amazing day to actually have that.
And you've decided not to get married, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, again, would have had a sort of a feminist critique of marriage, that in the old days it was sort of man owning the woman.
Yes.
Economic transaction, all those things.
Yes.
So no, we weren't going to go for marriage, and would have supported marriage equality as an equality issue, as a choice. So we entered into civil partnership, but then it made more sense in the end to actually upgrade, as you say.
Oh, you upgraded, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. Jim, you're single at the moment.
I'm single, sorry, yes. I had a relationship, a lovely relationship for 10 years, another one for 8 years, another one for 4 years. He died of AIDS, sadly.
Right.
He went, and I have a lovely friend now. So, and I share
lonely.
No, and I share my house with a gorgeous human being.
Right.
Who's a Brazilian student. And we just, it's like the fear of the mind, you know. Gorgeous guy.
Yeah.
Very much, yeah.
Tell me about, you're still all very healthy, but there comes a time then when, it happens to us all. And you may be in a nursing home or something like that.
If I could talk to you about that, please. Yeah. When I came up to the Age Action, I met a lady called Carol at the last event for Older Than Pride. And this lady amazed me that she's working for the government. She's going around to all the Dublin nursing homes, educating and training the staff. So when they get an influx of gay people in the next 5 or 10 years, I don't know, whenever exactly, that they'll be ready for them.
Because they'll be the first generation.
Yeah.
I know it's always been here, but it hasn't been out.
And then Alan Amsby, Mr. Pussy, is tremendously witty. And he mimed this matron. Oh dear, here's another queen with her tiara, you know.
So it's Older Than Pride.
Yes.
Where can people find out more about it, Eddie?
We can find it out on dublinpride.ie, because our next outing, in a way, is on the 25th of March, because it's the last Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
And it's the afternoon. And what we're going to do is we're going to be going to EPIC, the Immigration Museum. And they also have an amazing exhibition, which is free as well, which is the Lives and Legacy of the Irish Diaspora Women. So it's giving both elements of the history of Ireland itself to us older people who've lived it in a way, but also at the same time to understand the diversity of the women in our society.
So dublinpride.ie, they can find out more there. And Jim, it's handy because you have the free travel.
Yes, it's marvellous.
You go up for Limerick. Yeah.
And then we do go for the drink afterwards. Street 66, very relaxed atmosphere.
To see Dublin evolve and turn into such a beautiful city now, you know, with all the different people, and I love coming to Dublin. Yeah.
We leave it there. Jim, thanks for coming in. Jared, thank you.
For having us, right.
Eddie, thank you.
Anytime.
Enjoy
that's what it's all about, and happy Pride.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.